Good morning. If you love Jesus, let's put our hands together for him. Come on. Come on. You can do better than that. There we go. Praise the Lord. This is my eye candy. This is my girlfriend, Brooke. And, February 6th, she was diagnosed with cancer. And we have cancer behind us. Amen. Praise God for that. And she's still getting chemo treatments. We call it chemo at our house. And every 3 weeks, and so this Wednesday, she had chemo. But we want to thank you guys, even though we're in Fort Smith. We had so many of you guys praying for us. Just crazy. Y'all over Facebook messaged me. It should have been illegal. It's like every day. We had people from this campus wake up every morning and ask us, how can we specifically pray for you today? We had people send us cards and gift cards, and we got so much food. We were getting like two or three meals. We had people on this campus send us meals. I don't even know who they are. They sent us some meals. We were getting two or three meals a day, and almost all of them were good. There was a couple of them that snuck in there. Y'all should have just kept that to yourself. But I dug a hole in my backyard and I named it Spot. And when I get a bad meal, they'd ask, they go, how was it? I was like, it hit the spot. I'll tell you right now. It went fast. It hit the spot. They're like, thank you, Jesus. So, and that advice is free right there. I'll give that to you. All right. You can use that. But I mean, we even had a guy who doesn't know if God exists that fasted for her healing. How does that work? I was just like, well, he's like, I'm fasting. He's a big redneck. He's like, I'm fasting for your wife, preacher. And I said, well, I don't think you believe in God. And he's like, I don't know if he exists, but if he does, I'm twisting his arm in the right direction. So I was like, all right, quit not eating then. And for me to not eat, I got to have an angelic, confrontation. They're like, Marcus, don't eat. And I'm like, yes, sir. Other than that, I'm going to Cracker Barrel. Amen. So, I'm going to talk to you about healing today, and anytime we talk about the supernatural, there's always tension in the room. It's like people are like, oh, please don't get weird. I'm just now liking this church. It's like, and it's because we have a lot of diverse backgrounds in this room, and there's also a lot of weirdness in the body of Christ when it comes along with healing or the supernatural or hearing from God. How many of y'all have ever seen something, all right? And somebody had purple hair, and they were talking about it, and it turned you off. All right, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, okay? And listen, and because what happens is you have solid people who love God, and that turns them off. As a matter of fact, and so when the weirdos speak on healing, then it turns off people to the real thing. That is a trap of Satan. Satan will create a counterfeit, right? So it keeps you away from the real thing. And we got a lot of solid people in this church that need the real thing. Amen? Matter of fact, we did a study on New Life Church. Almost 60% of our people are not weird at all. So look down your row if you don't see any weird people. Well, there you go. All right. So I'm just playing with you. I made that stat up. I do that all the time. All right. So I'm going to read some Proverbs because Proverbs talks a lot about health and talks a lot about healing. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some time where we pray. I'm going to pray over you. Matter of fact, before we do that, if you're in here and you need a miracle in any area of your life right now, I want you to raise your hand. Let's just raise your hand. This is about half the crowd. All right, put them down. If you're in here and somebody close to you, dear to your heart, needs a miracle anywhere in your life, raise your hand. Goodness gracious. It's like this is the broken world we live in. For 20 years, Brooke could ask me about anything. Marcus, I need you to provide this. I could do it. Or she would be like, I need you to lead this way. I do it. Marcus, I need you to stand there and look good. I'm like, I got that, and a bag of chips. All right, I could do that, But on February 6th, then I could not provide this. Like sometimes, and I want you to write this in your notes, sometimes it takes a miracle. Sometimes my best efforts aren't good enough. Sometimes I need God to enter this natural world because I can't figure it out. And so I just want to pray, and I want you to relax, and I want you to just let the Lord minister to you. Sometimes we're trying to build you up in a sermon. Sometimes we're going to fire you up all next month. I think God wants to minister to some people physically and some people emotionally. So maybe you just take the lid off and just say, God, whatever you want to do, however you want to teach, I want to hear your heart, and I want to receive from you today. Is that fair enough, everybody? Amen. God, we love you. We pray for your presence to come, and I pray that you speak to every single person. Some people in here have struggled with this subject because they've prayed and nothing's happened. Or maybe they're in the middle of it right now, and or maybe they grew up in a denomination that didn't believe that anything was for today, that's all passed away. I just pray that as we open up the Word, you teach us your truth, and Jesus, you give us your heart. And God, I just pray that a piece of heaven touches a piece of earth today, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all give my wife a big hand. Come on. Woo! Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit does what? Dries up the bones. A crushed spirit dries up the bones. Let me tell you when you're going to need a miracle. You're going to need a miracle when your 13-year-old says, I'm in love. You're going to need a miracle. Where'd you meet him? On Facebook. You're going to need a double miracle. Amen? You're going to need a miracle when you've been working at a job for a long time. So all of a sudden you get let go or you get a pink slip. You need a miracle. You're going to need a miracle all the time in your life. I had a guy come to me and he said, Marcus, do you know what it feels like to be fired unjustly? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I got fired unjustly. You know what that feels like? I was like, no, every time I've been fired, spot on, you know? It's just like, yeah, I agree. You know, that's how it's been for me. You're going to need miracles all the time in your life. And let me tell you something. Sometimes the stories of yesterday and listen, sometimes the facts that you know about God are not enough. Jesus went into a village one day, and they knew who he was, and they knew who his sisters were, and they knew who his mama was, and they knew who his daddy had been, and they didn't get any miracles. He went to a village where they knew all the facts about his family tree, but they didn't experience the miracles he wanted to do there. And I see in Judges 6, Gideon said this. He said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has this happened to us? That was my first response. The doctors came to our house and gave us the news about Brooke's cancer. And you know what my first thought was? If you're with me, then why did this happen? I mean, I'm just telling you, I did not have a spiritual response. I got bad news, but I just reacted. I just went into anger. I kicked a bunch of stuff, and I apologized to the neighbors the next day, you know, and I had to buy a new cell phone. And I was just like, God, we're doing everything we know to do. This is how Gideon reacts to the angel of the Lord, which he's specifically talking to Jesus. And he's like, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Now watch this. And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? He's like, I've heard some stories of old, but I'd like to see some things for myself today. Some things where heaven enters earth and it just turns the equation upside down. How many of y'all would like to see more of that than we're seeing it right now? And so when I look at my life, I'm like, sometimes I need my own stories, and sometimes I need my own experiences. And I just said, God, I said, in this situation, I need to see you. And so we went through the Bible, and we literally went through every single scripture on healing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We went through every personal encounter that people had with Jesus that was miraculous, which is 37 stories. We went through why some things didn't happen, and we struggled through all of those things. But I want to tell you something about the heart of Jesus, and I want you to write this down. In the heart of Jesus, every single person that encountered him and asked him for a miracle, he didn't turn down one person. I didn't know that. You know, the way I was raised, I was never told that. Now, you just got to know that that's the heart of Jesus. In Ezekiel, this is what it was prophesied. This is who he'd be forever. Ezekiel, the prophet, said about the Messiah, I will seek what was lost. Is Jesus seeking what was lost? Is he still doing that? Amen. He said, I'll seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. I'll bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. He's saying this is what Jesus is going to be doing. He's going to be saving, healing, setting, and restoring. And what we see, listen to me, what we see Jesus doing in the New Testament is his heart for today. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, when? Today, and how long? And forever. And so I had to step back and listen. I had to go, I can't allow my experiences or my lack of experiences or some goofiness over here. I can't allow that to determine my faith. I want to go to the Word and read the Word and go, okay, God, even though I'm confused about some things in this subject, and I'm not going to understand everything until I get to heaven, my faith is going to be on the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, now I'm going to give you 2 points about healing. Number one, Jesus heals physically. That's what he does. And he does it in a diverse group of ways. And I want to read out of Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read you a story. This is basically a two-point message, but I'm going to make you write a lot of other stuff down too. Just some things that we've been learning. Luke chapter 13. This is the woman that had arthritis in her back so bad she couldn't look up. And this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Everybody say spirit of infirmity. And she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. The New American Standard Version says 18 long years. Everybody say long. That's actually a better translation. Okay, listen to me. Everybody look at me for a second. Sometimes years fly by, and sometimes years drag by. And Jesus can look at every person in this room and know. Some of the people in this room are going, I can't believe it's November. This year went by so crazy fast, and I got to get ready for Thanksgiving and then Christmas. But there's also some people in this room where every day felt like it was 48 hours. The pain that you went through in your heart or where you were struggling in your physical body, or maybe your nervous system has just been whack all year long. And he looks at a crowd and goes, 18 long years. The days drug by. She felt pain for 18 years, and he has compassion on her. So this is what it says. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. If that's in your notes, I want you to underline that. We're going to come back to this later, okay? She could in no way raise herself up. It's like she's fully arthritic in her back to where it's like this. And physically, even if somebody helped her, it's just too much pain. And this is what happens. You start getting arthritis, so you bend over to relieve the pain. You bend over, and then it locks up, and then she's bent over like this for 18 years. No way to look up. But when Jesus saw her, if you got that in your notes, circle that. Because Jesus sees individuals. That's what he sees. Like if Jesus is up here, Jesus doesn't see, you know, all these seats and all the people. He doesn't see a crowd. He sees a person. Don't you love that about Jesus? Like Jesus can be ministering to 10,000 people at once and look up and go, hey, Zacchaeus, what's up? How you doing? I see you. And he's like, I'm preaching to a room full of people. I'm teaching in a temple. I go, I see that woman. And I don't just see her. I know what she's going through. And he's thinking about the long years. And he goes, he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She got her worship back is what happened, okay? Let me tell you some things about healing. Because in this, I had to answer a lot of questions. So people go, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why do we not see healing in the earth? Why do we battle? Why doesn't God just put Christians in a bubble and protect them, okay? Let me give you three things. I want you to put this, find a place. I've been telling people to put it on the back of their notes, but then I realized the back of your notes has stuff all over that. But that's not important. Just write over the back of your notes, all right? Do that. This is more important, all right? You ready? This is why. Let me give you three things that we settled on. Number one, we live in a fallen world, don't we? This world is fallen. When Brooke was diagnosed with cancer, we had two friends that were from extreme sides of Christianity. One friend called me and he just said, well, Marcus, she would have never got cancer unless God wanted her to have cancer. And you can pray all you want to pray, but he may take her home and that'll glorify God. He may leave her on the earth and that'll glorify God. But everything's in the sovereignty of God, and who could ever in the whole world know his ways? To which I just said, thanks a lot. And I hung up. All right. And then, listen, if that's how you think, I mean, you can keep that to yourself. Just don't go visit anybody in the hospital. All right. Thank you. All right. Little advice. Then the other extreme is the person who just goes, it's the hyper faith movement where Jesus did everything at Calvary and it's all based on your faith now. And if you'll just enlarge your faith to the point that you could just receive all he's done, then you'll be instantly healed. And I'm just sitting here going, my wife is going through 7.5 hours of chemo, and then God's going to determine her healing based on how much faith she has that day. That's not a father. Amen? And let me tell you why both of these are extremes. Because one puts all the blame on God, and the other puts all the blame on man. And listen to me, all blame comes from the devil. Amen? All blame comes from the devil. Okay? So what we do is we go, we live in a fallen world. And Satan fell to this earth, and he brought sickness with him, and we're going to live in heaven, in a new heaven and a new earth, where there's not going to be any tears and any suffering, but this world is broken. Secondly, okay, this is when I lose eye contact with everybody, all right? Here's the second one. We don't take care of our bodies. Let's all say that together. One, two, three. We don't take care. Turn to your neighbor, all right? And if you know them. If you don't know them, don't sell them anything, all right? We just don't take care of our bodies. Listen, and this is the thing that convicted me. All right, raise your hand in here if you love food. I'm like, I love it. Don't lie. God will kill you in church, all right? I love food, all right? I know some people, chicken strips is fine with them every day. Not me. I love food. I love all the kinds of food. Let me tell you what I love. I love sweet tea and bacon and fried chicken. I love hot water cornbread. I love gravy. I love Cracker Barrel, and I love America. Amen. Yes. When I run for president, that's my platform. Now, I'll be up there debating. I'm just like, here's my platform, Cracker Barrel. And I win the whole South. Got it. He won the Iowa caucus. How you do it? Food. That's what he did. Amen. Somebody told me, said, Marcus, you got to start drinking more water. I said, I hate water. And they said, I don't. Every time I go to the restaurant, Brooks like, order water. I'm like, no. You know? And then somebody told me, they said, if you drink water for 6 months, then you drink a Coke and it'll taste nasty to you. That's a lie from the Taliban. I'm going to tell you that right now. I drink water for 6 months. I drank a Coke and my taste buds started stinging. Welcome back to the dream. I was like, I love food. This has been my biggest weakness. I've always been scared. I'm going to eat right and drink kale stuff with my wife like she does, and then I'm going to get hit by a bus and die, you know? And my last words are, it ain't worth it. I'm going to say it would be, yeah. I can preach on this all day. She knows I can. I love it. I told Brooke, I said, I don't care where we go on vacation, as long as we eat good. She's like, we're going to Pine Bluff. I said, they got any good restaurants? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I love you, baby. You know, I can go to Kandahar, eat good, I'm fine. But I want you to write down two things. When you don't take care of your body, matter of fact, God gave you a body, and then he asked you to manage it with wisdom. And if there's one place and one area where the body of Christ is being dumb, this series is Don't Be Dumb. We're being dumb in how we steward our own temple. And you can steward your own temple in a way that you won't finish everything God had for you to finish on earth. And I had to sit down quietly and go, my goodness, I am not taking care of myself. There's two pains when it comes to your body. There's either going to be the pain of discipline, or you can put that down, or the pain of regret. The pain of discipline where you go, I'm going to manage this through the natural laws God created my body to work with. Or one day I'm going to have the pain of regret where I go, I wish I would have done that. And now it's too far gone. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit convicted me so deeply. I wrote this in my journal one day. If I don't change the way I'm eating, sleeping, drinking, and exercising, I'm going to show up at a doctor's office one day and ask them to do in 3 or 4 days what took me 30 years to get here. Isn't that the truth? And I see people who mismanage their bodies for 30, 40 years. Then they break down and they blame God about it. But he's made you the manager of this, and we're not taking care of it. And let me tell you something. If you hear the Holy Spirit whispering to you, I want you to make it a conviction and go, starting Monday morning, there are going to be some things that I shove away. I'm not even going to ask you to amen. Let's move on. Praise God. Here's the next thing. Sometimes there's a direct attack of Satan. Sometimes Satan understands your calling. He understands your influence. He understands how you can reach your family, your friends, and he will get after you, or he will get after your family. And what Jesus didn't see was that this woman had mismanaged her body. He saw that Satan himself had attacked her. And so Jesus saw it as a spirit of infirmity, lays his hand on her and heals her. And I'll tell you why. I want to read a verse, Exodus 15:26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, Give ear to his commands and keep all of his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. Watch this. I want us to say this together. 1, 2, 3. For I am the Lord who heals you. Let's say it again. For I am the Lord who heals you. Find a place to write this down. Healing isn't just what God does. Healing is who he is. So sometimes we're just like, God, I'm just praying for you to show up and do this. And I'm praying for you to act on this. Sometimes you just get in the presence of God and he heals you inside and out. Because listen, it's his nature. It's his nature. Let me tell you the three ways God heals, okay? This is not in your notes, so write it down somewhere. God heals naturally. Everybody say naturally. Because God's a healer, okay? Listen to me. Because it's in his nature. And he created you in his own image. Are y'all tracking with me? Then he's created you with a mechanism to heal your own self. He's given you an immune system. That's why you can fight off colds. You can fight off the flu. Because God put a healing touch inside your body. Listen, if he didn't do that, then you would cut yourself and bleed out and die. You know, a paper cut would send you into glory. If he didn't put that inside, what happened to him? I was trying to tell him to get away from that paper. And then I was trying my best. The angels are up there discussing. And then they cut themselves, and now they're dead, you know. Johnny stumped his toe. We're going to have to make him a bed up here in heaven. He's coming. God gave you, he gave you this natural ability to heal. Amen? Here's the second one. God will heal you medically. Everybody say medically. One thing we've learned in this journey. God has used so many doctors to be a blessing to my family. And I want to tell you something. At New Life Church, across all of our campuses, we have doctors, physicians. We've got dentists. I'm scared to death of you guys, but we thank for you, all right? We have surgeons that know that God uses them, that call us and go, I have a surgery in the morning, and I need God to direct my hands because naturally it's not going to be good enough. This is a life and death thing. They take it as God's called me into this. And I thank God for the doctors and the nurses and all of those in healthcare. Amen. Thank you for what you do. Working in nursing homes, taking care of people, pain management doctors, all of you. You're God's hand in this earth. Amen. When Brooke was having her surgery, they gave her something to settle down called Marinol. I didn't know what it was. At the time, they gave her this little pill. She shared this at the woman conference. They gave her this pill, and they just said, take this, it'll help you relax. And then Brooke, she won't put anything foreign in her body. You know, me, I grew up in Louisiana. We eat out of a ditch. I'll put anything in my mouth. You know, I'm just like, you know. And so Brooke's like, I don't know if I should take it. And, you know, I'm over there nervous. I'm like, if you don't, I'm going to take two myself. You better get it on it, you know. And so she takes it, and then they walk back in. They're like, well, what was it? And they said, well, it's Marinol. I said, what's Marinol? And they said, medical marijuana. And Brooke goes, oh, no. You know, she thought she was going to go to hell. And I was like, yes, we finally have everything in common. Praise God, you know. And then my aunt found out, and she called me. She's like, hey, if y'all are taking any home, I'll show up for Thanksgiving. And everybody got an aunt like that, don't they? I'm going to tell you that right now. And let me give you a little bit of advice here, okay, that I forgot to share last night. Doctors are not God, okay? And so you can't put your trust in doctors. You can't put your trust in nurses. You put your trust in Jesus. It actually stresses them out when they think they're all you got. You got enough in Jesus. So we would go and get advice, and we would pray. We'd let the Holy Spirit lead us. There were some things we were like, we believe we're really supposed to do this. Some things we were like, we really feel like we weren't. And so the doctors were the healing hands of God, but we felt like we need to be led by the Spirit every step of the way, okay? God heals physically. The second way he heals is he heals the heart. And in the body of Christ, I am seeing this as a huge thing. I told a couple the other day because I've been doing a lot of marriage counseling the last couple of years. And I've come to realize that there are people that do need advice. Listen to me. Most people need to be healed in their heart. I thought, if you would get healed from yesterday and you would get healed from how you got hurt yesterday and in your past, and if both of you were ever healthy emotionally, and you got your personality back, that God wired you up, and you were the child of God he created you to be, your marriage is going to be fine. But giving you 3 points to do is just not working. There's something that needs to be healed on the inside. This is what the book of Luke says in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Everybody say brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Watch this. And set, everybody say set, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Do you know what set at liberty those who are oppressed means? In the Greek, it literally means people who've been bruised in the soul. That Jesus would, He would go and He would heal some people that were hurt physically, but He could look at the heart and go, somebody got hit in life and it bruised them inwardly. Inwardly to a place where they're just not their self anymore. So let's go back to the lady. She walked in. She's hunched over like this. And the Bible says she had no way possible she could do what? Look up again. You know, let me tell you why this miracle made the Bible. Is that she's not just a saint, she was a symbol. She's a symbol of people that are broken physically and people that are broken emotionally in their heart. People that are broken in their heart, or they've been bruised somewhere inside, they have no ability to look forward towards their future anymore. They can't do it. They've lost their ability to look upward into the face of God anymore. People can be hurt so deep on the inside that all they see is the dirt of every day, and that's why the days go by long. And some of you in this building are like that right now, and some of you have got some really close people that this is the best way to describe it. All they see is the negative about every day. That's what they put on social media. That's what they talk about. They can have 20 good things going on, and they see the one wrong thing. And it's more than an attitude adjustment, guys. And it's more than just telling them, listen to me, you need to get your eyes on something better. She had an inability to do it. You know what? She needed to be healed. So this is how Jesus healed her. He called her, and He said, you're a daughter of Abraham. He gave her the highest title He could give anyone. He could have just said, you're the daughter of that guy who lives down in Lavaca, right? And He says, you're the daughter of the most important person in this faith. All of a sudden, she stands up straight. And in one moment, He healed her physically and He healed her emotionally. Let me tell you when you need to be healed in the heart. You need to be healed in the heart when you've got relational wounds. Some of those wounds can be romantic wounds. You thought a relationship was going to work out and it didn't. Or somebody told you they were going to love you the rest of your life and they didn't make it to the rest of the life. You know, maybe you have a friendship that you've lost that was dear to you. I talked to somebody one day and they just said, I've got a wound in here from harsh words that was spoken to me when I was 12 years old. I can remember the family member that said it. I can see the look on their face. And he says, I can close my eyes, and even though it's 30 years later, I can close my eyes and see it and hear it. I can even see just saliva coming out of their mouth when they said it, and it hurts today as much as it hurt them. And what they said, it's just bruised me. So it's relational wounds. Then just life can beat you up because we live in a fallen world. You can have some life wounds where you have grief in your heart. And you can, listen, you can be bent over and twisted up in anger and grief and disappointment. Maybe you lost someone too early in life. Maybe you didn't get promoted and you really deserved to get promoted on your job. And then all of a sudden you're just like, I can't even think about next year. I can't think about 6 months down the road. Proverbs says that the Proverbs 31 woman can look at the future and smile. But when you're twisted up in grief like this and you're just bent over in life, you just can't see anything. I'm going to tell you something I personally went through. For about 3 years, I went through anxiety. I didn't even understand it. I just started having anxiety attacks just out of nowhere. And it was just like my nervous system broke. And you can be hurt in your nervous system to the point that every time Satan whispers a lie in your ears, your nervous system believes it. And that can happen in your life. And Jesus can do two things at once. He can heal you physically and He can heal you emotionally and He can set you free. He said, this is what I came to do and this is what I'm still doing. Amen. I want you to stand on your feet and I want to pray over you.